Coming up in this episode of the Creepy Kingdom Cinema Crypt, we have the hot off the press Avengers Endgame review. Hello there and welcome to the Creepy Kingdom Cinema Crypt, Creepy Kingdom's podcast all about films. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. And coming up in this episode, we have a spoiler-filled, not spoiler-free, spoiler-filled review and reaction to Marvel Studios' Avengers Endgame. If you have not seen the film, I'd recommend not listening to this until after you see the film. Or if you're not planning to see the film for some reason and you want something to listen to, then stick around. We recorded this right after we attended the press screening at Walt Disney Studios. This episode was filmed on location in the Bob's Big Boy restaurant in Burbank, California. So there's lots of Bob's Big Boy noise in the background. But number one, we were hungry because, you know, 3-hour movie. But I wanted to capture our immediate reaction to this film. Before we get started, I have to mention to you that our YouTube show, Creepy Quest, has returned in full force. If you haven't seen it before, we'd love for you to check it out. We have new episodes that will be coming very rapidly, as we have filmed a lot of things for them. And in case you're unfamiliar with what we do on that show, it's basically a vlog of us going to different things and events and sharing our experiences firsthand with you. So go to our YouTube channel and subscribe if you haven't already. It's a lot of fun content coming. And we have another YouTube show that we're working on as well. So, yeah, might as well watch Creepy Kingdom on YouTube, too. All right. Without any further ado, let's open the crypt. We are here in location. We're not in the regular studio. We decided to get out and get some air. And, well, actually, what we really decided to do was record this minutes after seeing.
I've been embargoed for like 15 minutes.
15 minutes. We just left the Avengers Endgame screening. And we are now at Bob's Big Boy, only appropriate place.
Because the Denny's next to Disney Studios was not a 24-hour Denny's.
No.
This Oddly is enough. Yeah, so I'll introduce everyone. No, of course, I'm James here. And
you know, I'm Roxy.
Yeah, we all know Roxy.
Everybody knows me.
And we're joined here by Sabina.
Hello.
And now we're going to place our order at Bob's Big Boy.
We're going to order something.
Yes, this is what you tune in
Let's
for.
We're going to record this? All right.
Let's keep it going. Why not?
Right on. Better record the whole thing doing a podcast?
Yes, we are doing a podcast.
That's so cool. We will hush up when you come around, though, because we're going to be talking about the Avengers Endgame. So
yeah. You guys just watching?
We just got done.
We just watched it.
That's why we looked such a mess.
Wait, does it come out on Friday?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, we went to an advanced press screening.
On the hot side, okay, yeah. La 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 la.
Food order.
Yeah, this will be. Yeah, we're not gonna yell the spoilers, but all right. Okay. Anyways,
can
let's
I get the barbecue quesadilla?
Barbecue quesadilla?
Yes.
Of course.
And a cherry Coke.
Coke for you. Another barbecue quesadilla and a hot chocolate, please.
I would like an order of onion rings, regular size, with a side of ranch.
Are you sure we only want regular size? Well, there are two of us.
All right, double size.
Double, I thought.
My bad. Double, I don't even know what the sizes are. Double size.
There's two of us. Which one should we get?
I would do the double.
Okay.
All right, we're going to do the double. So do we need two sides of ranch? Or?
No, it's a pretty good size. I can give you two.
Oh, no, let's start with one.
Let's start with one and then...
We'll see if there's a ranch emergency.
No, I want my own ranch.
Two ranch.
Yeah.
Double onion rings, double ranch.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, that makes sense. Anyway, and I would also like a root beer float.
A root beer float?
Yes.
Anything for your...
mystery person.
We're not sure yet, right?
He's going to share your
food. Is there anything to deal with him? I don't know what drink he wants, so...
Okay, we can wait. Some more waters?
Yes, please.
Yes.
We're in Burbank at Bob's Big Boys, and we just got done seeing Avengers Endgame on the Disney Studios lot, and there's a lot to process, okay? So this is going to be a spoiler-filled podcast, right?
Yes.
Yeah? Where I have to not swear.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And actually, it's interesting. You know what? I kind of wanted to do... I wanted to do the... Huh? Who?
A person.
Oh, I wasn't going to say this, but we're just going to work all this out as we're recording. So, I thought it would be impossible to not do a spoiler review after seeing the movie. But I'm wondering about who's going to be listening to this. You know, are people really going to be like, I don't know whether I should see Endgame or not. Let me tune in and listen to the review of this podcast.
No.
Nobody's going to do that.
No,
that's what I thought.
Nobody's going to do that.
So I figured they would have already seen it.
Yeah.
And want to dive in.
Yeah.
And hear our thoughts and elaborate on it. So this isn't like a review to see whether you should see the movie
no.
or not.
This is us talking about our feelings about the movie. I have feelings, you guys.
Because.
Okay. There are feelings.
What are you recording, my wrist?
And things.
Audio recorder.
I'm gonna cry
no.
again.
Don't cry. Okay. So, it's spoiler filled, and that's what we can do here. We're if for some reason you're listening and you haven't seen Endgame yet, just possible, I guess, since they've sold out all the tickets everywhere ever for the next month.
Pretty much. Yeah.
There are still some tickets available at the Orange outlets for this
not,
weekend.
Not anymore.
Just so you know.
This is hours ago.
No, that's true. That was hours. I did check hours ago.
Well, it's funny because I
checked this morning.
I do want to see it again.
Yeah.
In fact, I'll start by saying that when the movie was over, I actually literally wanted to watch it again, like immediately. I mean, which was odd since it was a solid 3-hour block. But.
Okay, I'm gonna start by saying that, okay, I can barely make it through a movie without having to pee, like a normal movie. And I always have water, and I always have soda, and I always have a variety of candy. And during this movie, I did not take a sip of anything. I did not eat any candy.
Which you have in your bag?
And I did not have to pee because there was no time to focus on anything other than what was happening in the movie and the people crying around me. And my own snot dripping out of my nose.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I'm going to take it back a little bit here.
Okay.
I'm going to take it back. And,
I almost felt like I was going to concuss myself because I was, like, trying not to just, like, scream out in a wail.
Yeah. At like, some point. Audibly bawl.
I feel like you probably should not have held back.
Visceral
because
noise
I
wanted to
like,
come out of my
I
body.
I felt like the screening we were at and the people that were in there kind of were sharing the emotions. There was a lot of activity going on in there. There was a vibe in there. There was a feel. You could feel it in the air. I haven't had too many movie-going experiences like that. Especially at press screenings, which are usually filled with jaded...
Cynical
critics. Sorry, but that's usually the case.
No, but it is true. Press screenings are usually like that. But no, this was totally different. You're right. This was like, I kind of feel like Sabina and I are better friends now. Because we've gone through this together.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we'd be sitting there and she'd like grab my leg and I'd like grab her arm.
I'm I'm glad you guys could be there for each other.
It was like, but yeah, no, you're right, because everybody was cheering and everybody was yelling and everybody was like,
not the usual vibe of press screenings, right. I'll be honest.
Actually, to take it even further back, the vibe at the Infinity War screening felt like a war room. You know, like, I was sitting with Marquis McCarty and Koi Jianru. I think that's his name, Jianru something. That dude.
Yes.
And Jonathan, my husband, and the four of us, literally, just the whole time, were just, like, dead quiet, but, like, constantly covering our faces with our hands in various ways. Like, someone had their, like, face resting in their hand. Someone had their hand on their palm. Someone had their palm on their head. Yeah. Like, their hands covering their mouth. Like, just, like, thinking. Like, just, you know? like strongly just staring at, like, the disaster that was happening in front of you. You know? Like, that's what... It was a war room watching Infinity War. And this was just, like...
This was everything that we knew we needed and a lot of things we didn't know we needed in this movie.
I can agree with that, because I can honestly say that this film did not go the way that I had even guessed it would go.
No. What was your guess?
I didn't really have, like, a straight guess, but I kind of thought that it'd be more of a very long... I thought it'd be a longer, drawn-out battle with Thanos at the beginning of the movie. I thought that Captain Marvel was going to be in it throughout the film. You know, those are two things that weren't there. But as soon as Thanos was killed in the beginning of the movie, I'm like... Wow, I'm like, well, I have no idea where this film's going. You know, like, and then this is wild. But I want to, before we start digging deep, I do want to take it back to one thing that I just want to take a moment and appreciate. And, you know, I appreciate that you're here, Sabina, for this. Because even though you weren't there for what I'm about to say, it's still, you know, the journey led us to right now.
Yeah.
And I want to think back to 4 years ago. When we reviewed Age of Ultron. Do you remember when we recorded that podcast?
Jesus.
You don't have to remember what we said, but yeah. You remember doing it.
Yes, I remember recording Age of Ultron. Yes.
You know, and I would have never thought that 4 years from that point that we, you and I, would go to Walt Disney Studios. I was living in New Jersey. You were living
in Northern
California. We would be like, these are the things I don't take for granted.
It's
like,
a dope origin story.
Yes. You know, just, we reviewed Age of Ultron, which was out of the ordinary for things that we even would talk about then, because we were really...
Yeah, because we were really into the creepy side of Disney. So reviewing Age of Ultron was totally out of our realm, but it was creepy, and we were
They used the creepy version of the Pinocchio song,
and that was one of the things that we talked about. That was how we, like...
Yeah, we tied it together.
But you're right. It was a little out of character for the show at that point in time. And now here we are.
And so
we both live in Southern California, and we were just on the Disney Studios lot watching Endgame.
So I want to take a brief moment to appreciate that. Now, big picture with Endgame, my big thought was that this is an unprecedented cinematic experience. Because I can't think of any film that I've ever seen before where I needed to have knowledge from 21 other movies in order to fully appreciate every moment that was going on.
Yeah, this, like, is not a beginner movie.
That's unprecedented. That is mind-blowing. The Russo brothers are magical geniuses.
Oh, yeah.
I loved when they came in and did Winter Soldier. That changed the Marvel films ever since that point. It raised the bar, and then right from that point, in my opinion, a lot of the films kind of were on the same level, and then they're like, yeah, no, we're just going to blow the roof off. I almost used profanity. Right. And so they came in, they did it again with Civil War, You're like, how are you going to top that? We watched Infinity War, which we all forgot what happened in it because all we can remember is that everyone died at the end.
Yeah, all you remember is
the But I just rewatched Infinity War yesterday, and I was like, wow, that actually is a, on its own, really awesome movie. So now here we are, and in watching this movie, that was my second thought, my first thought. Right? My second thought is so satisfying payoff of watching all of these movies. I can't think of what a, any other series that has paid off as well as the things that happen in this movie. And then I'll go to what you said, the third thought. There was things in this film I didn't even think to even know that I wanted to see.
Yeah.
You know, Big Lebowski Thor? Who thought of that?
I'm not sure that I needed that
because I'm not sure that I needed Big Lebowski Thor. I kind of loved it, but no, I don't think I needed that. But and yeah, the fact that they kept it
for the whole movie, like Big Daddy Thor, the whole movie.
He was, and he certainly. Came, you know, got a little of his groove back at the end, but he kind of didn't really snap out of this "I'm a failure,
no.
loser" attitude that he had, and that and that's just so not Thor, you know. But it still was. It was. He was broke. He was a broken man.
He was a broken man.
That is for sure.
Incredible.
You guys, everybody knows I'm a huge Joss Whedon fan. Okay, and when Joss Whedon stepped away from the MCU, I was very upset. Like, very upset. And even this morning, before we saw this, I said something about how I knew it was going to be really good. And Keegan, my husband, said, but it would be better if it was directed by Joss Whedon. And I looked at him and said, babe, everything's better directed by Joss Whedon, and I left the house. I was wrong.
You were completely wrong.
You're completely wrong.
I was completely wrong.
This film would have been horrible if Joss Whedon...
No, I'm not going to say that it would have been horrible, because I love Joss Whedon.
I know, but I'm just...
But the Russo brothers...
I have, like, an estranged father sort of feeling
like,
for Joss
right?
Whedon.
But the Russo brothers... Yeah. Did so they brought nope lost all my words again totally can't the movie was amazing
and she's done lots to unpack. I'm just gonna keep talking with my thoughts and you guys can chime in whenever.
Yeah, they don't want to go booth over.
You want to tell them?
Yeah, we just got out of it. Yeah, we legit. We saw it at the Disney Studios. I'm still crying over it.
It's worth the wait.
Oh my god, I'm still crying. I'm like a mess.
I'm seeing it like Thursday, like right now.
It's, oh my god.
It's super awesome.
I like woke up like right when Sidious went on.
Amazing.
Yeah. No, it's super so awesome. Good. You guys are going to love it.
Okay, so we have to warn everyone around us that we are...
What world are we living in?
Spoilers.
We're like telling people to get away from us in public.
We shook hands. Like, this was like a whole, like, it was
yeah,
a treaty.
It was, like,
it was great.
Fist bump thing. Yeah. Like,
this is, I love my life.
Right?
sorry, we can't have people near us.
I know, right? I'm in the car. I'm still crying. Okay, I'm good. I'm okay.
Oh, you're good. Oh, root beer float time. Yes. Awesome.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Chocolate.
Very happy. Thank you.
Can I take this menu or do you want to keep it for your friends?
Oh, I guess this probably don't need it, right?
Oh, yeah.
We saw Avengers Endgame. And so we're talking about it, but no one else has seen it yet. And so we had to warn them that we didn't want to spoil the movie for them.
If that's okay, yeah.
I feel like that was like our one chance to use that. Like, I think there's other times I might want to use that. It's like, hey guys, like, you want people to get away from you? I'm sorry, I'm recording a podcast and we're talking about spoilers about the latest hit film.
It wouldn't work for anything except for this one.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, where were we?
What was I saying?
Things that I didn't know that I needed, but I did. I'm going to start with Captain Marvel's new haircut. She looks so good.
Her multiple haircuts.
She looked so good. So good. Also, I just shaved my head not too long ago, and that is going to be my hair as soon as it grows
back. Well, it's interesting. The rest of this podcast is about her hair. It's interesting is that, we just watched Captain Marvel, and we accepted that hairstyle, but you forget that the movie takes place in the 90s.
Yep.
And then she went off to outer space and didn't go to the hairdresser while she was out there. So she came back to our time with the same 90s haircut. So clearly, somebody was like, hey, everyone changed their hair. I'm sure Black Widow was like, that was awesome when you brought the spaceship back and everything, but you might want to do something.
Change your hair. I needed Carol's new haircut. I'm so here for it. And it's funny because when the trailer came out and when the poster came out, everyone was talking about Hawkeye's new haircut. Yeah. And that was like the big topic of discussion, and I was like, I'm here for it. I love his little like faux hawk thing that he got going on.
I
did not know that I needed Carol to have that like edgy haircut so badly. Like,
I really like Thor when he fixed his hobo beard.
Yes.
And he went full like old man Viking Thor.
He went full Viking
Thor.
Oh my god. Yeah, he went like classic. Like,
so, going into the film, I think I even said this before it started, but I've had this thought for the past year. Based on what happens in Infinity War, I wanted Gamora to be alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was really upset. In fact, I think this was around the time that everything was going down with Scarlett Johansson over her playing Asian women. Mm-hmm. I was like, you have this person being all these characters. Like, I think I like joked. I didn't mean it. I did not mean it. At least that's what I was saying over and over again as I was sobbing. When I was like, could have been Black Widow. Why'd it have to be Gamora? And then...
guess what?
Yeah.
Look what you did.
Look
what you did.
Is the waitress a zombie on the Bob's Big Boy thing there, or is that just faded?
I think it's just been washed too many times.
Looks like she had devil ears. I just make everything look creepy when I look at it. All right, cool. So I'm not ready talking about Black Widow.
you're not mentally.
I have a thought. I want Gamora to be alive.
Yeah.
Gamora returns in this film because they go back in time.
We were told they wouldn't go back in time.
Who said that?
Like, wasn't like the whole media blitz was like, there's not going to be time travel in the movie?
I don't remember hearing that.
There's no way. There's absolutely no way they could have, like, they...
I think they were kind of like, I think they were lying.
But you got Gamora back.
Well, did we?
Kind of.
Because... This is the only question that I have.
They're pulling a Rick and Morty.
Leaving the film. I don't know exactly what that means, but the question I have, and again, this is all. Hey.
Hey.
We're joined by Jonathan.
Gus was fed, walked, got wet, washed, and he has back in the diaper.
Cool. We ordered our food a while ago, so it's not here yet, so.
Oh, yeah.
Also, right. I didn't even notice that amazing shirt you have on.
Oh, thank you. Sorry, I interrupted you talking.
We just know. Okay. We're good. We're
on time.
This podcast has no structure.
Okay.
At all.
I'm just having a good time. Now, my question here, and then maybe you can, of course, you could chime in with this, your thoughts. I was saying that going into the film, I really wanted Gamora to somehow be alive. She came back in the film because she went back in time.
Yeah.
And then there's the moment where old Nebula points out to, no, not old, present day Nebula points out to past Gamora that Quill is the man that she loves. And they have that, it's him, or
you have the choice between him and a tree.
Yeah, and a tree. We have that line. Then, we never see Gamora again in the rest of the movie.
Well, except for Peter Quill searching for her.
What do you mean?
So at the end, he has a panel up,
a little
and it says searching for old Gamora. Because she's not at the funeral, so she took off.
I didn't pick up that he was searching for her.
She's still in that old mindset. She doesn't love Quill in this moment.
So basically, to break it down for you listeners, but I'm sure you listeners probably know what I'm talking about. This happened on Rick and Morty. They literally messed up an entire of their own universe, and then they went to another universe where they were dead, and they just took the places. That is basically what Nebula and Gamora are doing. They're just taking it
because she killed past Nebula. Yeah.
So present Nebula is alive. And so is this other Gamora, who is past Gamora. So she is pulling a Rick and Morty and just, making her.
So past Gamora took off.
Mm-hmm. In the present.
Oh, with Nebula.
No, Nebula was still around.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are you okay?
I'm good.
Do you want anything to drink?
I will in a minute. I'll let them eat first.
This is ours.
Okay, but was Nebula at the funeral?
Yeah.
Yes.
She was?
Yeah, yes, she was.
Fuck, I don't know.
No, that's present day.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know. We know past Nebula is dead.
Yeah. So, but Gamora was the only one not at the funeral.
Yeah. She was not there.
Okay. So she took off, but not with present day Nebula.
Correct. She's on her own.
My hope is that the next Guardians movie will be about.
One of the things I think I tweeted was that I was really mad that we never got to see the most dangerous woman in the galaxy be the most dangerous woman in the galaxy. That we got this Gamora who was starting to kind of arc into, the Guardian of the Galaxy and stuff, right? Okay. But we never got to see this crazy mad assassin and shit. Now we might get that.
Yeah, we might. Because who knows what she's going to do.
She's crazy. I love her.
Yep.
She is
Well, I mean, yeah, we never saw that before, but in the Guardians film, it was about the softening of that
hardened shell.
Shell. That was her story up until that point. So, yeah, you're right.
Now we get to see the badass.
That's what I wanted from day one. And now I'm glad we get that story, and I'm hoping James Gunn doesn't let us down on that. I don't think he will. My least favorite scene in the first Guardians movie is when Drax has Gamora up against the wall by her throat, and Peter Quill saves the day, essentially, and talks Drax down from killing her. Gamora would never get in that position.
Right?
The Gamora from the comics would never get in that position. So that's what I'm excited to see. I have a couple of personal things I can talk about that relate to the movie and the MCU overall. Oh,
personal to your life?
Personal, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yes.
One is that a friend of mine has he's a big Vikings fan, the football team.
Mm-hmm.
And on the back of his car, he has the emblem, which is the Viking with the long mustache and long beard.
Yeah.
And I was telling him last week, what, like, that's what Thor should look like. Thor should look like a Viking.
Uh-huh.
And we got that in this movie.
Literally right before you walked in. We were talking about how Thor was
talking about everyone's hair.
Viking.
That's amazing.
Yep.
Number two, does somebody else want to talk for a second? Because I have to pull something up.
Awesome. Thank you.
Absolutely. Do you guys everything tastes okay? Yes.
So far, so good. Thank you. Yes. I think...
We should get another plate.
Yeah. This is weird. Light bulb. So. There we go.
Okay, I'm good. So, last week, Sabina and I were walking around the Americana.
Can you steal this?
And in the background, It's Been a Long, Long Time by Harry James was playing. And I got really excited and emotional because that's the song that plays in Cap's apartment when Fury gets shot.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my God, that's like such a good cue. I want to go listen to that. So I pulled it up and I've been listening to it. And that cue played over Peggy and Steve dancing.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God, that's genius. The third thing is very personal. So I was in a long-term relationship, and it was not something I wanted to be a part of. And there was a moment where the woman I was with said that she would see every Marvel movie with me. And at that very moment, I knew I did not want to see what would be Endgame with her. I did not know that the movie would end so emotional and so romantic. But when it did, I leaned over to Sabina and I said, I love you. Because that is somebody I wanted to see the last Marvel movie with.
That wrapped up.
So I'm really glad that I was with Sabina.
That's wonderful, because Roxy and I didn't say that we loved each other, but we just had a moment for ourselves about the journey that we've come on to see this movie together.
Sorry, Shannon.
Can't talk.
Is this good?
We have silenced Roxy. It's a very emotional time.
We ended up at the end. We have to go back. We're like literally just that. Where's Gamora?
that kind of sums up the Gamora thing. I didn't see that he was searching for Gamora when he was on the computer. No, I didn't pick that up. It actually said Gamora.
Yeah, it was her picture, and it said searching.
Ironically, James Gunn had said that his Volume 3 movie was about the search for Gamora.
Missed that too.
He has said that. And everybody thought that it was about Peter Quill going to Red Skull.
Oh, yeah,
to go and find
her.
But no, it's this other thing entirely, which I'm really excited about.
There was so much of that, though. There was so much of... Because we knew at least some of the people were going to come back. Because in the real world, we know that they have movies coming out.
Could be flashbacks. Could be in the past.
Now we know Spider-Man is in the past.
But
for sure.
You think for sure?
For sure. Oh, yeah.
You think so?
I think that movie is ending with him getting on a school bus.
Huh. Oh.
Which leads to Infinity War.
Yeah.
Yep.
But we knew. We knew people had movies coming out. There was no way that I was going to believe that every movie coming out.
Not every movie. Yeah, yeah.
So we knew. We knew people were coming back. But... And we knew that some things were ending. We knew that...
Don't sit here.
We knew that Chris Evans' contract was ending. And we knew that Robert Downey Jr.'s contract was ending. I can do this. I can totally do this. But how they brought people back and how storylines ended were definitely not like how we expected things to go.
Nothing was as we expected.
No, not even close.
I thought the movie was going to end on Xandar. That's where I was thinking. Because I was like, if they go back, they should go and get the Power Stone first, because that was the first stone that he stole.
Yeah.
But nope.
I do like how... I like how they wrote off every time travel movie. I like how they not only
including
wrote it off... Yeah. I like how they... Not only did they write it off, but they, like... They made fun of it, yep. You know? And they were like... Yeah, they even mentioned Bill and Ted, you know? Like, and I just...
Because they're like, look, how do you know what's going to happen? And they're like, every single time travel movie.
I love that because we all went into it thinking that, you know? We all went into it thinking that is how time travel works, because that's how we've been taught that time travel works. And I love that they were like, you know what? Y'all wrong. We're going to do it a different way.
Well, here's my favorite part about that. Kevin Feige has said numerous times that Back to the Future is his favorite movie of all time. And the other thing I leaned over and told Sabina was, oh my god, he made his Back to the Future. Like, and he did it better. Like, I love Back to the Future. But it does have glaring flaws. This is so well structured. And the repercussions are so well realized that this feels like a better version of the trilogy that Robert Zemeckis and Bill Gale created, which I love, and it has its place. It inspired this movie.
Yep.
It will always be a classic. But what this movie did in return was not only pay it homage and, you know, shoot it down a little bit, but it upped the ante. Like, this is the movie that people are going to think about when they think of time travel.
And the time travel scenes were so good.
Yes, they were.
They were so good. It was like you were saying earlier about how never has a movie at the end of a series hold every single movie before it in so well and made them so important that... You know, if you haven't seen them, you should, because what is wrong with you? But but if you have seen all of them, and if you love all of them, all of those moments were just so, like...
I mean, it's satisfying is the word that keeps coming to me.
Yeah.
Like, it's so... The things that happen in the movie are so satisfying to come to the end of this series of films. Just...
It's crazy.
So many things.
To go off your point, Roxy, this movie made Thor the Dark World better.
Yeah.
Yes. That's one of the worst films. I'm glad we can all agree on that one.
Which is an amazing and impeccable task. When the Russo brothers came on, they did Winter Soldier. And Winter Soldier made First Avenger better. And then they did Civil War, which made Age of Ultron better. Now, they have made the entirety of the MCU better. Like, they have all... This is the tide that raises all ships. Like, this is it. If you're on this ride, then all those movies that you watch to get here, you're going to appreciate and love them even more than you did before. Which is incredible.
Yeah.
I just... Like the Russo brothers said when they saw the first Iron Man movie, like they came out of the first Iron Man movie being like, we want to make stuff like that. That's exactly how I feel right now. I'm just like, I'm without words because mostly I just want to get out and fucking make something.
I don't know what I was
going to
say.
I'll continue steering the ship.
Well, going back to what you were saying about how everything is like tied together, when I interviewed the executive producer of Endgame for ComingSoon.net...
The name of the person?
Trin Tran.
Yeah.
Yes. Sorry. spoke with Trin Tran, and she's amazing. She started as an executive assistant on Iron Man. She's amazing. And executive producer on Endgame, which is just a dream, you know? Like, we were talking, and the whole media for Endgame has been Cusco's poison. Because literally everyone is just saying a variation of the same thing over and over again. Like, this is the poison for Cusco. Cusco's poison. Yep. Like, that is literally what everyone did. No one answered anything straight, you know? And, like, even in my interview, like, when I spoke to her, I had some really dope questions. And I love her answers. They're very diplomatic and vague, you know? And one of the lead-ins for one of my questions was this idea of highlighting arcs. I went straight at it, like, because I was like, you've been with these movies for 10 years, and I want to know from all of the arcs that you worked and shepherded, you know, like, which ones are you most excited to see? And I was like, I like the idea of things, like, circling back. And when I saw the footage, I'd seen the footage of Tony and Nebula on the ship, and the way that it shot, I immediately thought of the cave scene from the first Iron Man. And I was like, yeah, like, it feels like everything is cyclical and stuff like that. And now I feel like maybe, I know, like, she didn't like say anything very direct to me afterwards. She was like, she basically answered something along the lines of, these movies are all my children and I'm really excited for all their arcs and stuff like that, which is awesome. Yeah. But I was like, oh, I can't. Tony is my favorite.
Well, we're not talking about Tony. That's got to be the last thing we're talking about.
We're not ready.
Let's talk about that.
No, you know what I want? I want a movie. Russo Brothers, listen.
They're big fans of the show.
I know they are. I want a movie. I want a Loki movie that starts immediately after he disappears with the Tesseract.
I think that's the show.
There's a Loki show coming.
Yeah.
I think that's what the show is going
to be. Think it'll start right there?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
What's it?
I think it has been talked about. It goes through time. It's going to be like Quantum Leap, but with mischief.
Actually, the way I heard it, well, not that he's traveling through time, but that it's him through great moments in history, that he's just been alive the entire time.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So, there's plenty more Loki coming for the Loki fans.
Yep, but yeah, that... The moment he disappeared, I was like, whatever comes next needs to start right then. Like, please give me that.
Yeah, good. Well, that's... When he disappears, wouldn't that mess up the entire timeline? Because...
They end up going back further than that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They go into the 70s.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Because obviously, him being caught and going back to Asgard is what happens in the Dark World. And so on. So if he's not caught.
Yeah, so technically, in the future timeline, Thor in the Dark World doesn't happen.
This is complicated stuff, guys.
The ancient one explains it. Like, you get a new timeline when you take away an Infinity Stone. So they are correcting the timeline up until that point. Because that point they messed up.
Oh.
So that point is a branch off. And that branch we're going to see in the TV show.
So everything that happened did really happen in our timeline, but the new timeline will be what happens when he disappears.
Interesting.
Which is awesome, and thank you for not X-Mening everything. Because that was one of my biggest fears, is that they were going to use time travel to fix it, and they were going to go back, and like they could have brought back Vision, and they could have brought back Gamora, and they could have brought back all kinds of people, because they could have X-Men'd the whole thing, and I was so worried that they were going to just be like,
that's okay, we're here.
Could I get a hot fudge banana split?
We don't have splits, it's only Sundays.
That's fine, hot fudge banana split Sunday. Yeah. That's what I meant.
Everything okay?
Yeah, I think we're all doing good.
Do you want a water too?
Water, yes.
Can I get another cherry coke?
Yeah, I'll have a fudge with you.
Did you get a hot chocolate?
Yes, I did.
But yeah, they didn't do that. And I'm very happy they didn't do that.
Right, I'm ready to talk about a casualty.
around people?
Huh?
There are four people
left. Yeah, we'll keep it though. But, we all have a lot of favorite Marvel characters. You know,
mine is Tony Stark.
Yours is. For me, I don't have a clear front runner, but I have a people that come to mind who I've loved watching in these films. Gamora was one of them. Scarlet Witch is one of them.
Doesn't get enough love.
And Black Widow is one of them. And they really got me with that one. I did not see that one coming. I really thought Hawkeye was going to be the sacrificial lamb.
Yeah. Well, I'll bet everybody did.
I loved how they handled it though.
No, yeah.
Me too.
It happened the best possible way it could happen. Yeah.
It shocked and surprised.
It was shocking, like them going hand to hand combat. I did not know. Like I didn't breathe. I don't think throughout that like whole sequence.
The only thing I did a trick. Thank you. Grab you a straw.
Thank you.
The only thing I didn't like about it, and it's the same thing that I didn't like about Gamora in Infinity War, is that it is a big deal, and it is shocking, and it is hard, but it happens at a time in the movie where by the time you get to the end, you're over it. Because so much other stuff has happened that it has taken like the shock out of it, but I felt the same way about Gamora. Like, I wanted to mourn Gamora, but there was so much else that happened in between.
Both films didn't give me time for that at all.
Yeah, like, no, it was like, it was that.
Should have added an extra half an hour in the film, guys, come on.
I slightly disagree because I feel like the young Gamora, seeing her at the end of Infinity War, reminded us of the sacrifice and helped us mourn her more. And at the end of this movie, Hawkeye's words of "I wish you could be here to see that it worked." I loved the bookends of that.
Yep.
And I think some people are going to be upset that we don't get a resolute conclusion on where young Gamora was. Obviously, it was a metaphor.
Yeah.
But I just love the book into that. I think it's really powerful on both movies.
Yeah, no, I agree. Speaking of future projects, I've been hearing for a long time there's a Black Widow film.
Yep.
In development. And now it's getting ready to start going. So clearly this is a prequel.
Although I would really like a female superhero film to take place in present day.
You know what I want? I want a Black Widow movie that's not like her beginning.
Right.
You know, it's not like, you know, I want like the Black Widow movie where like she's working for Tony Stark. You know, where she has to pretend to be normal. That's what I want. I want to just watch like 2 hours of her just having to pretend to be a businesswoman and like secretly kicking the crap out of people and like.
So we get to see the.
Like, Iron Man 2, she was a secretary.
Mm-hmm. That's what she's talking about. She's saying she wants a whole movie of that.
Yeah, that's right. What I want.
Like a prequel to Iron Man 2.
Yep. I want it to be. I want all of the. I want all the like posters to be like her in a suit. You know, like holding a thing of coffee or, you know what I mean? Like carrying, like making coffees or whatnot.
That sounds like a Disney Plus show. That doesn't sound like a Marvel Cinematic Universe film.
And then all of the fanboys with their like, you know, fragile
masculinity would be like, this is going to be a great movie, and then they go see it, and it's, you know, fucking Captain Marvel Part 2.
I'm excited about the movie we're going to get. I think Kate Shortland is a good pick for that, and we're going to get an espionage thriller with us seeing just how badass she was,
mm-hmm.
that accumulated all of that that red in her ledger, mm-hmm. that she was so eager to get rid of.
Right.
And so she's going to do some pretty messed up stuff in this movie.
I hope Rachel Weisz is some pretty messed up stuff in that movie too, because she was such a badass,
mm-hmm.
in The Favorite, where I was like, I just want her to see this full villainess. Like,
it is going to be really interesting to see Black Widow more, not as a villain, but more villainous than she is in the current movies, because she is trying to be so good, and she is trying to, like, you know, clear her ledger, and like, it would be really interesting to see what exactly she did.
And I really hope Julie Delpy comes back, because she was in the Red Room in Age of Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
No one has talked about her, but I'm like, bring her back. She's an amazing actress. If you've ever seen the Sunset films, they're incredible.
No, I haven't.
Before,
I've seen
after,
one of them.
And
I've seen one of them. I don't remember which one. Well, there's Black Widow's future.
Yeah. And I think that's such a good way to, like, bring that character's whole story, like, together, that, you know, she didn't, like she said when Hawkeye asked her, why are we going to trust this floating red skull? And she was like, she knew my father's name. I did not know my father's name. That is just one of the, like, hints that, like, the Avengers was her family. Like,
yeah.
Those are the people she loved, you know?
Can I just say, whenever they got on the ship to go there, I was like, oh my God, we're doing this. And then it happened like an hour later, and I was like, I can't handle this.
Who made the choices to pair them up?
No, they like willingly took it.
Because
they didn't know.
Because
no one knew.
Okay, I don't know.
Only person I knew was Nebula, right? Did Pat.
Well, she only put it together, but she didn't know that, like, there had to be a sacrifice.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
She knew that that's where he could more, but it's funny because for some reason I didn't, I wasn't going to let it, like, sink in, because I kept thinking they're going to go back to like, right before Thanos was there. You know, they're going to, like, I kept trying to come up.
If there was no other time.
Also, they didn't know, like, they didn't know when that was.
I didn't. Yep, and then they got there. Red Skull appears, and I was like, oh no. Like, no, and then I'm like, maybe they'll sacrifice Red Skull. We can work this in. It'll
You're
be
just
fine.
Trying to think of any scenario.
Any
these,
scenario.
These two characters leave alive. That's what we all start doing. And I'm like, and then again, I'm like, okay, so I'm like, again, I'm like, Hawkeye's gonna be the sacrifice. You know, that was shocking. That was a gut punch. Another for me, a moment that was emotional was, and Infinity War did this really good too, in a bad way, but this in a sad way, but this was in a happy, emotional way, was when Cap hears the radio call in from Falcon right as they're about to call in Thanos, and it's that those moments of, like, it's quiet, there's nothing really happening at this moment. Cap just got it, you know, his ass handed to him. It's like, it's this moment of it's not silence, but just, it's just so calm, and you could not even anticipate what was about to happen.
Like, and we all knew, you know, we all knew they'd be back, and we all knew as soon as we saw Thanos' big army and all of it, you know, you knew that everybody was going to come back, and that's how we were going to win. I did not know that.
Like, I didn't know that either.
No, I was sure.
I was like,
I kept asking myself, where are they?
And we had the whole Infinity Wars moment in Wakanda when the things came down, and the things opened, and the things came out, and I was like, this is it, this is where, and they're all gonna come. But I didn't expect it to happen that way, and when it did happen, even though I knew in my like soul that it was gonna happen, it took everything I had not to jump out of my seat and like cheer. Like I felt my butt leave my seat and was like, no. Like, sit down.
But I, as much as I love that moment, I love the moment right before. You're saying it's calm, but it is so emotional and so badass to see that image of Captain America standing on a rock, looking out at an army that is rushing at him with Thanos in front of him. And he's just standing there.
Also, how
like the badass he is.
Also, how a lot of those shots were just as Tony saw in the first in Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Right? The like the Chitauri ships like overhead, the broken shield, like cap on the ground with the shield. Like that shit, that is what he fucking saw. I'm sorry, I'm cursing. That is the stuff.
Thanks
he
for
saw.
Giving me editing work to do.
What Tony saw right as that scene unfolded was the Chitauri ship and the broken shield with Cap just laid out, like, and it happened in a way.
I thought for sure, I was sure that was the moment we were going to lose Captain America. That shield laying there, his shield was broken, and I was like, okay, and I'm like preparing myself, and I was just like, this is fine, we got this, this is okay. And then it didn't happen, and then everything else happened, and I was just like, oh my god.
I would say I'm leaning more towards you. I thought at that moment one of those three people were gonna die right there.
I was always Cap dies.
Uh-huh.
And when he didn't, I was like, well, my team,
yep,
has been good.
Keegan's a huge Captain America fan, and I'm a huge Iron Man fan, and so we have been having this discussion for weeks, basically, since both of the contracts were up, of which one of them, or both of them, or like weeks, okay? I did not think I was going to lose this one.
Right? Okay, like, real talk. When Civil War came out, we kind of, like, we were, like, banter a little bit about it and stuff like that, but we literally got into, like, an actual couple fight over Team Cap and Team Iron Man. Like, we literally were, like, jokingly, oh, yeah, but Tony's gonna, like, you know, like, but Tony's right. No, but Steve's right. And it turned into a whole, like, shouting match,
yeah,
of like our teams. Like we were like, oh, this just actually teamed up really quickly.
We left Civil War and I looked at Keegan. The first thing I said when we left the theater was, now do you see why my side is right? And he was like, you have lost your mind.
Yeah, completely. That was.
And I was like,
Team Cap in Civil War.
No.
For what he
no,
was fighting for.
No. Tony no. was right.
No, he was not.
Tony was
he
right.
He called that shit at the beginning of Mother.
Tony was right.
Please stop cursing. Sorry. So no. Emotional.
Tony, you know what? At the beginning of Endgame, was like, I was right. He laid it out in front of everyone. And he was.
He was. He totally was.
Fight us.
And no, okay, no, we can't go back to Civil War. But yes, but Keegan was like, you've lost your mind. And I was like, no, I'm right. I'm totally right. But I did not speak to him the entire ride home from Civil War because we are like so strongly opposed on our sides. But like I'm
not weighing in on this.
I didn't know.
Sure, my husband is really quiet right now. It will turn into a whole other thing.
I did not think that I was going to have to go home and be like, I was wrong. And now I have to go home and look at him and say, well, I was wrong.
Wait, were we wrong?
She was wrong about this fight.
No, about this film.
Who was going to survive this movie?
Yeah, okay. Because when I left today, I said...
I was about to continue the Civil War thing. So no. Technically, Tony was right, and Steve took Tony's advice by living the life that he wanted to live.
Yep.
But that's later. We'll go back there later.
But yeah, I left the house today, and I was like... I will let you know exactly how Cap dies so that you are not shocked when we go and see it. And he was like, okay, cool. Like,
I gotta say, if I were a betting man for this movie, I was gonna say Tony Stark wasn't gonna make it.
I was whole consoling Jonathan mode, like when Jonathan was seeing Cap fight, I was like, it's okay. It's gonna be okay. Like, you're gonna be fine. He's gonna die. You're gonna be fine.
No,
and then literally it was me, like literally as soon as Iron Man said I am Iron Man, I literally started heaving to the point of I'm gonna concuss right now because I can't scream and just lose it because...
And the fact that he didn't, that was his very last line, like...
It wasn't his very last line, guys. It's okay. It was what he said after he did
also,
what he did. But it wasn't his last line.
I also love the callback to Iron Man 3 with the voiceover.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
That was good. To me, I felt like Tony Stark is a cat with 9 lives. And that's, to me, why I didn't think that he was going to survive this movie. Because he's almost, out of all the main Avengers... He has been at death's door so many times.
Yeah, which is why he should survive. Because he's been at death's door so many times. And he just keeps coming back.
Well, like, you figure that can't go on forever.
I can't.
I'm like, really, I have a knack for story. And it was... Like, as soon as I saw that opening clip when we previewed it, because they did show us that Nebula Tony scene, I feel like I've known since then, because I brought it up, and I was like, this feels like the cave, like he's going back, you know, and he's probably gonna die, and I cannot. He... started all of this and lived with all of the possibilities of what could happen and wanted to put this shield around the world, and he ended up becoming the very thing he wanted to be or to do. And
can we talk about how great the visual effects makeup on Steve was at the end of this movie? It looked like a real person.
Yep.
Yeah, I was like, he is so hot.
They perfected...
He was so hot.
They perfected this. And Nick Fury looked fantastic in Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
They perfected this to show us what somebody will look like in 50 years.
Yep.
With nothing to go on. That is incredible.
Yeah, that was... It's so believable.
Why'd you just interrupt our eulogy to Tony to talk about Cap?
No, I have to go back.
We're gonna wind down this episode, so I'm gonna let you two speak your piece.
Okay. I know that Endgame is the end of phase... Well, it's not technically the end of phase 3, but I know that this is the end of phase 3 and that there is still more in the future and that the Avengers aren't done and you know, it will continue and whatnot. But I literally, at this moment in time, cannot imagine a world without Tony Stark in it.
I can't either. I thought he would be the one, like, whether he was going to be, you know, just retired or injured to the point where he couldn't be in the suit. I thought he was going to be the one guiding Peter Parker, Kamala Khan, Miles, America Chavez. Like, I don't know. Like, all the new, like, Avengers were going to be under his, like, guidance, though he would not be participating. For some reason, that was my hope.
But, like, he would almost be their Charlie. Yeah. You know, like...
Let's take solace in the fact that he did for 5 years get to have the that life that he never had.
That he wanted.
That little girl better grow up to be the next Iron Man.
Well, I was going
to
say, let's take a step back. I think a lot of people have been waiting for Pot.
For Pepper.
This is
since
Potts.
Iron Man 3, dude. Since Iron Man 3, when he threw that suit on her and it was just fucking amazing. I'm sorry, James. I can't.
And
okay?
I was really sad when she got rid of Extremis, too. I was just like, you keep your fiery glowy arm. What's happening?
Right?
What? You know?
No, but this was like, and then that the scene where they actually got to fight like back to back, and like they did the little circle camera thing.
The callback to Iron Man 2.
I mean,
taking my break. You
know,
you need anything before I go? No.
No, I think we're good. Yeah.
Drop a step off, but take your time.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
But everybody that's taking care of you at the front. Okay.
I'm going to interrupt again and say I don't want an Ant-Man 3 because we're not going to get young Cassie anymore.
Oh, young Cassie.
That is a casualty that I did not want, and we got it.
I want Ant-Man 3.
That little actress is amazing, and she should have been stature.
I want Ant-Man 3 because I want the character that recaps everything that's going on. I forget his name. I need another one of those.
Where's Louise?
Louise. Yes. Louise. For that alone, I want an Ant-Man 3.
Okay, so, all right, so we're going to wrap this up, but before we do, name the one cameo that you saw in this movie from all of those back in time and this and that that just made you go
Rene Russo.
Who?
Rene Russo.
Thor's mom.
Oh.
I mean, like, I feel like I've written countless pieces about, like, how the female characters in a lot of these movies have been a little shortchanged. I love these movies. I love them. I love the actresses who play these characters. And, like, it's something that, as time has gone on, has improved. But I really like how they went back and, like, just gave them multitudes, gave them, you know, complexities and that... That in that way to have that mothering moment, you know, for Thor was I'm shook.
Well, it's interesting to say that the first phase, I was reading some of the similar articles. A lot of the female roles were very one-dimensional, and it was very interesting to go back and say actually they weren't one-dimensional. We just didn't show you everything. I mean, you know, in reality they were, but they actually were able to correct something.
They were fixed. The Russo brothers were able to fix other people's past mistakes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't have an answer to your question. There's so many cameos. But I will say, since we're on the topic of this, one of my most speechless moments of the film was when all of the women got together.
Oh, no, we can't talk about that yet. That's a whole.
I mean, that was insane.
We were shaking.
I was shaking.
It was everything.
I mean, it was really intense. Like, I mean, it was just like, on that point, where this series have started and where it's at right now, and to have that moment, and that was just a straight up like gratuitous like F you to every hater. It was just like, it was not necessary for this plot, but it was such a just gift to the audience.
It was such a gorgeous and it was such a gorgeous way to honor Black Widow's memory.
Yep.
Yes.
By calling back to what she said. Yep. She was the first woman of the Avengers. Well, technically Peggy, but like in the formation of the Avengers. Yes.
The original six in the MCU.
Yes. She started it, and for all these women that she lifted up in a way, like, or who she was like, we're a team, like, let's like do this, like in the trench at Wakanda.
Yep.
Like, she's not alone. We are together.
And yes. It called back her exact line, mm-hmm. and it was just amazing.
It was perfect.
It was perfect.
One of my favorite takeaways from that entire sequence was Scarlet Witch versus Thanos, where she de-arms him. That is amazing.
I mean, going back, like I said, I told you one of my favorites. I love Scarlet Witch. She's clearly absent throughout the film because she was dust. And I love that. I have mixed feelings about Thanos as a character. You know, like as a villain even. But I love the, you know, you took away everything, and he's like, I don't know who you are. You know, you will. Like, that's like...
Yeah.
That's badass. It's iconic. It reminds me of, like, this lines that, like, echo in my head.
That line and that interaction will go down in history with I Am Iron Man from the first one, and I could do this all day. Yeah. And, like, you know, though that... She got one. She got her moment.
To me, and I'm actually... It's a different franchise. To me, I'm going to put it on the line that sticks through my head all the time is from Deathly Hallows Part 2 when Professor McGonagall says his name is Voldemort, you might as well say his name because he'll kill you either way. Mm-hmm. Like that to me, that's like the most powerful line. That's making me teary-eyed. That's one of the most powerful lines in all of Harry Potter, because it's all about
Scarlet Witch, your was fears that witch.
And she was that witch. In that moment, like she was that, like, yeah, it was like in that moment she took that right there. So yep. It was just like
she was that witch, and I don't mean witch.
No, yeah, she was that. And I wish that was longer. I wish that whole sequence was longer.
Same.
Yep.
So all right, fine. I didn't cry the whole time watching the movie, and right there, recalling that McGonagall scene got to me. That guy.
Harry Potter that brought a tear.
I guess I don't have the emotions that you guys have to the characters. Clearly, you guys are really upset about what happened.
Very emotionally invested in these characters.
Right, it's like, and I wouldn't say that I am, so that's why it wasn't affecting me on that level. And
well,
again,
we need that in this conversation because we're just all embarrassed. Right. So you're just like bringing it together.
Yeah, and is it for me? And also, just for the listeners, I'm sure they've heard this in the past. Or, is that I've loved this film series, and this is how I've enjoyed the characters. I don't read comics, so I don't have an attachment from my youth. Besides the Spider-Man, Hulk, you know, obviously those we all know them. But I've been just following this story for the past 10 years, which is still a crazy long time to be following a story. But one thing that the MCU has brought us that was really absent in earlier superhero films, for the most part, was the stakes. The stakes are actually here. And I think it was kind of absent in the first phase, too, to be really honest. I didn't really feel too many stakes in the first Avengers. It just seemed like everything was going to work out. You know,
but the first Avengers movie, you knew your
I'm going to go back to Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier was the turning point where I felt there was actually stakes.
And that's the introduction of the Russo brothers.
Yeah, yeah. And with that, with stakes come emotional attachment. Because if you don't feel like there's any stakes, it's hard to be attached. And I would have never imagined when this series started that it would end so brutally as what happened in this film. I don't know if that's where I even thought they were going when they started it. You know, it's been a crazy ride.
Teenagers.
Those are the people that we told to not sit next to us are now doing river dance in the middle of the street.
I think that was Fortnite. Dances.
Okay, look like River Dance to me. Anyways, this has been a really unorthodox episode. We've been recording it from Bob's Big Party.
We apologize, you guys, for all the background noises.
But
maybe
just,
James can help in post.
It's part of the ambiance. I think. All right.
I think you're gonna love this movie, and I mean, if you, I. I mean, it's too late to say this now, but if you haven't seen the movie, go watch the movie.
Yeah, we've anticipated. We said from the start that if you haven't seen it, then okay, don't listen. Yeah. Okay,
well, then I would say that as a fan of the MCU as a whole, this was the most satisfying conclusion they could have come up with, and it works. It works emotionally. It works as a bombastic blockbuster. It works as a family drama. It works on every level. And it is perfectly put together, and it perfectly ties in. And like I said, it rises all the other movies up to a new level. And that's just incredible. The thing I was worried about going into this was the Dark Knight Rises syndrome. Mm-hmm. When I saw the Dark Knight Rises, it lowered Batman Begins and The Dark Knight for me.
And DC Batman is like his thing. Like,
yeah, and I Batman is my thing.
My husband and I, we live with so many Batmen.
And I was incredibly disappointed by the way that that movie handled the mythos of Batman. Whereas this was not only paying homage to the mythos and things that have happened in the comics in incredible ways and unprecedented ways. Like, if you've read the comics, you're gonna be like, this is like my new heaven. Like, they have pulled everything and the kitchen sink out of this thing, and it works. Can I just say, elevator scene? And at the end of all of this, it's just been worth it. It's just been worth it. And I'm really glad I went on this journey, and it has given me new life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Right on. That's hard to top, but maybe you can.
I grew up in... I'm from L.A. I grew up in L.A. And my life has been really challenging in many ways that I can't talk about yet. But one thing that I would do growing up was go see movies with my parents and my brother. And I would measure my life by the next superhero movie. And this started with the phone in the ranch.
Sorry to have brought this touching moment. All right, we're still going. We're good.
Sam Raimi's Spider-Man is something I saw with my family, and Sunday matinees, you know, seeing so many movies. But basically every May, you know, it would be Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 3, and then Iron Man got, I think, the slot. I just remember like Free Comic Book Day and a Marvel movie would be coming out, and I lived like down the street from where Marvel Studios used to be in Manhattan Beach. I lived in Hawthorne. And I had just so much crap that happened to me, and I would get through it because I'd be like, in a few months there's going to be a new movie that's coming out, and I didn't know what I was going to be or do. But spending the last, like, 10 years watching these movies, being inspired, seeing what heroes used to mean, seeing what they meant to us as they've changed, seeing how, like, even with this movie, they've gone back and said, we can be better, we're flawed, but we can always be better. I just know that now I know what I want to do, and I want to be in the next 10 years of these movies in some way, in whatever way. But, yeah.
Well put. All right.
You're going to
take us home.
Okay. There we go. So the number one thing I'm going to say, my ending thing to all of you out there who are listening, just in case you haven't seen it yet, is take tissues. Because you will need them. So many tissues. I didn't take enough, okay? And I took a handkerchief. But no, this ending was... They should.
Theater should have Kleenex boxes at the ready.
They totally should.
They should be branded. Branded Avengers Kleenex.
Tissues, okay? No, this was the absolute... I'm totally sad, and I'm hell of emotional, and I'm gonna wear black for the next week in mourning. But this was the perfect ending to 10 years of movies.
perfect. Because the time travel with the flashbacks, and I literally cannot look at anybody at this table because I'm just gonna, tears will just start pouring out of my face. This movie was amazing.
Okay. I feel like in time Roxy will be able to say more on the subject. But before you pee.
Before I pee?
You should probably say, you know, since you're a special guest.
Oh yeah, where can they find you?
You know, you gotta give your plugs, you know.
You can find me on Creepy Kingdom. But you can also find me at Twitter and Instagram. Twitter at Sabina has no R. Instagram at That Lady Graves. I'm a filmmaker. I directed a music video for Tracy Hines recently, her cover of Evermore from Beauty and the Beast. I plan on making more movies. Like Marvel movies. A Marvel movie. I don't know. Anyways.
Breaking news. You're making a Marvel movie.
I mean, like, if when it happens, you can say you heard it first.
Yep.
You heard it here first, gang.
Follow me in those spaces, and let's watch more superhero movies together. Everyone go see this movie on Friday. Just go. If you see it again, if you've already heard it. I can't think.
I'm letting her pee. She's going.
I do have to pee.
She's going on and on. I'm just sitting here.
I don't know how to end things, so.
You gotta work on your end game. And any plugs for yourself, John?
Sure. I am on Twitter at The Dark Pilgrim and on Instagram at Grinning Gravestone Entertainment. And I am a producer that loves dark comedy. So that's what I'm into. That's what I do. But yeah, I love these Marvel movies and I'm really glad to have seen it with you guys. Thank you for having me.
It was a lovely evening.
It was very emotional, but lovely indeed.
Burbank, California. A mere miles from the Walt Disney Studios. We're signing off.
Hey, if you'd like to contact us here at the Creepy Kingdom Cinema Crypt, you can email us, creepykingdom@gmail.com. And to check out everything Creepy Kingdom, including our articles, our videos, like Creepy Quest I was telling you about earlier, links to our social media, check out our store with the Creepy Kingdom apparel line. Everything Creepy Kingdom is just waiting for you at creepykingdom.com. And if you would like to support what we do here and get even more Creepy Kingdom, then check out the Creepy Kingdom Patreon. Currently, it is the exclusive online home for our documentary about Haunted Mansion fans, Foolish Mortals, as well as our Patreon exclusive and uncensored podcast, Live from the Dungeon. Just go to patreon.com/creepykingdom. All right, until next time, the crypt is closed.